You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. It's Friday, and this week, commentator Gary Borders decries the annual mutilation of crepe myrtles, what arborists call crepe murder.
In coming days, landscape crews will descend upon this city and many others throughout Texas and the South, their loppers in hand. The annual mutilation of crepe myrtles will commence. When they have finished, assisted by well-meaning but deluded homeowners and business owners who think this is necessary, these lovely trees, they are trees, will be chopped down to ugly nubs. Eventually, summer blooms will disguise the nubs, but it's still mutilation. Arborists go so far as to call it crepe murder. Crepe myrtles have boomed in popularity because they thrive in summer heat and bloom for months. They line esplanades and highway medians to bring needed beauty among the asphalt and concrete. When allowed to grow to maturity, their peeling bark adds to the grandeur of the crepe myrtle, of which some species can grow up to 30 feet high. That's if the landscaping crews don't get hold of them. Some fine examples of unmutilated rows of crepe myrtles can be found on 6th Street along First Christian Church here in Longview, or in front of the Nacogdoches Post Office, where a stand of tall, white crepe myrtles brighten many a morning for me. Unfortunately, there are far more examples of what one gardening columnist called Mame Street, USA. Doing so actually causes decay and shortens a crepe myrtle's life. Don't just take my word for it. Google crepe myrtle mutilation and you'll find a bevy of articles decrying the practice. You will be hard put to find any defenders of the practice, except possibly landscaping companies looking to keep checks flowing in January and February when most everything is dormant and there's no grass to mow or leaves to bag. I quit mutilating crepe myrtles after spending an entire Sunday afternoon in Nacogdoches lopping off branches, perched on a stepladder, and hauling off the limbs. I did it for the same reason most folks do it or pay to have it done. Everybody else who had crepe myrtles in the neighborhood was paying their landscape crews to prune them. I was cheap, so I did it myself. A few days later, I ran into Jeff Apt, the gardening columnist for the Daily Sentinel. I recall complaining about what a pain it was to prune crepe myrtles. Jeff became excited, almost frantic. "Pruning crepe myrtles is absolutely unnecessary and a travesty," he said, or words to that effect. That was the last time I pruned a crepe myrtle. He convinced me my time was better spent reading a book on the deck. A few years later, Jeff, who has written on this topic even more than I have, formed SCAM, Society's Crusade Against Myrtle Mutilation. He began passing out bumper stickers to anyone willing to take the pledge to stop the myrtle mayhem. Alliteration is one of the weapons in our quiver. I slapped one on my Jeep's window and became a member. I still have a sticker on a filing cabinet in my study closet where I record these pieces. Crepe myrtles come in all sizes. When planting them, pick one that will not grow too large for the space and force you to prune. There are ways to restore mutilated myrtles, also readily accessible online, and methods to judiciously and gently prune them. When it is 95 degrees outside in East Texas for weeks, and the humidity is turning the air into a liquid-like substance, not much blooms. The crepe myrtle is a hardy, reliable source of beauty. These trees would be even lovelier if folks quit hacking at them. So give your landscape guy a generous tip and a couple of weeks off. Tell the crew to come back once the tulip tree starts blooming. That means spring is not far around the corner.
Commentator Gary Borders is a longtime writer and photographer in East Texas. You can reach him at garyborders.com.